your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Joining me today, Christine Smith, CEO and founder of Grün Chocolate. Christine, so great to have you on the show.
Thank you. So great to be here with you.
Absolutely. So for everybody who's listening in right now, Grün is one of Oregon's largest producers of cannabis-infused edibles. And Christine, sounds quite delicious.
It absolutely is. Yes.
So, you know, really interesting background from you. And, you know, this is why I love the show so much. We all come from, you know, different walks of life prior to cannabis, but you spent literally 20 years as an architect, and you know your husband Jasper owned and operated a medical cannabis dispensary. So maybe why don't you kick us off on the show and talk to us a little bit about how the company started? Like, what was it that gave you the idea of said, you know, I want to create a delicious, you know, cannabis infused edible company?
Sure. Yeah. So you know, I as you say, I was practicing architecture and very happy in my career, but. Really realized, and you know, this is back in ancient history, cannabis days, back in 2013-14, that I was looking for an alternative to alcohol. And you know, cannabis, there was a thriving medical market here in Oregon, but there weren't a lot of products that were geared for microdose, and there certainly wasn't anything that was beautiful or delicious. And so I really looked into trying to find something for myself, and that quickly evolved into something. It kind of started a life of its own, that I really had zero intention of leaning into a brand. I kept trying to quit. I didn't mean to do this. But it kept coming back. And pretty soon I had retailers that were looking at this. And by 2016, I really decided to turn this into a business. And I cashed in my stock options at my architecture firm and bought some chocolate machines, rented a little space and built it out. We saw, and that was about the time that we saw recreational was coming. And I realized this could actually be a real thing. And so really self-funded it completely with my stock options. And kind of took it from there. Recreational came along in 2017. We very quickly dominated the chocolate market, which is what we started in. And 2018, we took and really we were profitable from the onset. So we've never really taken funding. We've really always been profitable and then reinvested our profits to continue our growth. And as we move now into expansion mode into other states, that's still the model we're following. But 2017, recreational went live. We took over the chocolate category. 2018, we launched a sister company, which is our CBD company, serving the United States, Japan, UK, and Spain. Mm-hmm. And 2019, we opened up our product line from chocolate to include our line of pearls, which are small gummies shaped as beautiful little balls. Mm-hmm. And I guess from there, we've just continued to grow and expand beyond our borders of Oregon.
Amazing. Now, I would say from an expansion perspective, I know that you're kind of expanding into Arizona.
Yeah.
And that's been a, you know, obviously massive, you know, market from at least an expansion perspective. So talk to us a little bit about why Arizona.
You know, Arizona, well, our first market we expanded into was Nevada, and we did that, and it certainly wasn't on purpose, but we launched Nevada in February 2020, literally as COVID hit. So, you know, that was a challenge on an order of magnitude I can't even really describe. But so Nevada was a great initial launch for us. We learned a lot with that. And Arizona was the third state that we went into. And it really, as we were looking at markets, you know, Arizona is a great, it's one of the most fascinating markets that I've seen in the United States. It is a large, massive market with a small amount of licenses. The demand far exceeds the products that are on the market right now. And it's a really community-driven market, which we as a company excel in. And that's where we find our strengths. Coming into that market, it's been very good to us.
That's awesome. And so, you know, just from a expansion perspective too, like you guys, you know, you have so many products. Yeah. I feel like, you know, your site too is really beautiful and expansive. And, you know, I think when I first kind of, you know, heard about you guys, I kind of thought you were just a chocolate company.
Yeah. Right?
But you guys are so much more, you know,
so much I feel more. Like,
yeah. You know, you've really taken a lot of innovation and, you know, thinking about strategy. And, you know, I was just very impressed the way that you're also very organized. And, you know, your ingredients obviously they're organic, they're, you know, fair trade certified, they're local source when you can. And maybe that's something that you could kind of talk to everybody a little bit more about is, you know, how important is it for your products to really meet those different types of criteria? And, you know, who's your audience? Like, who are you guys trying to attract?
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny because when I initially started this, I looked at trying to attract people that were like me, right? Mothers, educated, a consumer that was looking for a microdose product. But what we quickly found, not quickly, but over time we found, is that we really need to apply to everyone. And so our product offerings have kind of transitioned and grown into products. So similar products, every product we make is going to have the same level of high quality ingredients. And you're right, we were the first fair trade certified cannabis company certified here in the United States. And that is really important to me. The same thing with putting real fruit powders and real natural ingredients into all of our products, but being able to create products that can appeal to all the different demographics became really important. And so as we've expanded our product line, we have not only full-size chocolate bars, but we have mini bars. The mini bars still have a higher dose, but we're able to bring those out at a price point that's much more appealable to consumers that don't have the same I guess what I'd say are your heavy users that are looking for a more cost-effective product offering. And, you know, coming from a market like Oregon, which, you know, for anybody that isn't aware, Oregon is an oversaturated, very competitive market. It's a smaller market. And so we've learned a lot coming out of this market and really being in tune with the consumers and what consumers are looking at in a mature market where the demand does not exceed the products on the market. If that makes sense.
Totally. You know, I think, you know, going back to the kind of your brand and, you know, the way it kind of expresses itself, it's like, even when I was on your site, I felt like it had like a combination of a kind of really calm spa, you know, with like, you know, high-end luxury chocolates. Right. And it was, you know, I think that's important because when someone comes and they arrive, if they, let's just say they've never been into your store before and they arrive on your website, it's just, you are right away kind of transcending into the consumer this experience of calmness. Like, and I don't know if that's, I guess you're trying to accomplish that because that's what it did for me.
Well, I'm so glad it did. And particularly on our CBD side, you know, so we've got two sites that run independently, you know, one, our CBD Grün Confections or Grün CBD site that, you know, we can sell direct to consumer. And then our THC side, the eatgrown.com, which is really geared towards our cannabis products. You know, we started in chocolate. We've really now expanded into the pearls, and now we just launched the pips, which are amazing. But the pearls, our gummies, are actually probably close to 70% of our product revenue right now, our company revenue. So, you know, we've actually kind of transitioned away from Grün chocolate and more into Grün confections. But I think to those that have known us forever, we'll always be Grün chocolate.
I love it. Now, from a, you know, I kind of would be remiss if I didn't ask you this, but, you know, we're obviously at Philo, you know, we are extremely focused on the kind of, you know, compliance space, right? So we have tools that really help, you know, marketers, MSOs, SSOs, anyone really who has any type of cannabis product stay compliant, whether it's, you know, tax laws, licensing, whether it's advertising, delivery. And so I'm just curious with you, because you have this beautiful brand, and you obviously, I would imagine you're doing, you know, advertising and marketing, but, you know, also being almost a you know, edible slash candy infused company, how do you avoid breaking all of these strict, you know, packaging and advertising regs to make sure that you kind of have that fun, you know, and creative brand that, you know, you have out there now?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, it's challenging. Really one of the ways that we've really tried to push the brand itself beyond the borders of the states that we're in with our cannabis products is through our CBD company. And we're, you know, we do work with out of house compliance officers and attorneys and all sorts of, including our in-house, but then we also do external reviews with all of our packaging and with all of our pieces to make sure that we are meeting the requirements for not only state jurisdictions, but now that we're entering into other national markets. So, for example, Japan has its own entire set of regulations that we're having to work within the boundaries of that. Setting up our own websites in Japanese and making sure that that's corresponding to what the brand is saying and how our Japanese partners are representing us and making sure that we're compliant with those regulations is quite complex. So we have a team here under our marketing and creative team that works directly with an out-of-house third party that helps us really review that. But, you know, it's a constant battle. I mean, we had our Instagram somehow taken down for our THC side a few weeks ago. We've got it back, but it's a constant struggle to, you know, find ways to actually directly connect with consumers on the cannabis side with advertising.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, makes sense. You know, from a, I would say from a product perspective, I think you mentioned before the chocolate bars are only available in Oregon. Is that correct?
Currently, you're going to see them in Arizona here before the end of the year.
Awesome. Okay. That was my next question. Because that's kind of like your signature product, right? I feel like, you know, when you started doing this, I mean, you were basically tempering chocolate yourself, right?
I was. Yeah, I actually was. And my,
that's amazing.
Yeah, I was. I don't do it anymore, but I still know how.
That's, but you know what? I feel like that's so cool because, you know, you kind of, you took a risk, obviously, going into a market that was completely unknown. And you've been doing this now probably longer than most. And that gave you the ability to really like learn, right, and apply that very, you know, thoughtful understanding of, you know, how to create these products, which is, you know, you have a lot of people who are running companies, they have no idea what goes into creating the product or sourcing the product, you know?
Yeah. And you know, that's probably one of our greatest strengths, I think, as a company, is our kind of commitment and our ability to really operate and to be really good operators. And it's one of the holes I see in this industry, probably just because it's so new, is that there's a lot of people creating these things and creating products and brands, particularly in the edible category, but there's not a lot of people really, really fully committed from the onset to understanding and developing really good products that are not just vehicles to get high or to get cannabis. And we're seeing more and more sophistication come on market, but it's still, I'm baffled every day by the products that you see, particularly in new and a lot of the upcoming medical markets.
Awesome. Now, you know, as far as medical is concerned, does your husband Jasper still play in the medical space? Did you guys team up together? Like what's the status?
Yeah. So we have a tier two farm here in Oregon. So we own a grow operation here in Oregon, and that does feed our input material. So we are, you know, kind of truly seed to table here in the Oregon market, which is amazing. But he really runs the farm, and I really run kind of the grown operations.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Now, what's your thoughts as far as you know, obviously I'm on the East Coast, you're on the West Coast, but I'm sure you've seen all the attention lately with New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, really kind of, you know, coming on board to like normal life, right? Like acceptance to recreational. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, it's definitely on the table for us. New Jersey is in the works right now for a 2022 We have another state in the Midwest that we're looking to open this year. So we'll have 5 markets open this year. This has been really a pivotal year for us, 2021. And I think we're going to see significant growth again in 2022 with 3 new markets that we're looking to open, with the East Coast being kind of our real target.
Cool. Now, obviously, we have tons of listeners across the entire country, all across cannabis. And so I think this would be a really great opportunity for you. Maybe give us your top 3 of your favorite products that people could either get in Portland or on your website.
Sure. So the top 3 products that I would say would be our 1-to-1-to-1 Harmony Pearl, which is the 1-to-1-to-1 ratio is a THC, CBD, CBN, probably the best ratio product I think we've ever created. The Harmony Pearl is our best-selling SKU. It's a 10-piece blackberry lemonade. The second thing I would suggest would be our 1-to-1-to-1 dark chocolate vanilla sea salt chocolate bar, and which is unbelievably amazing. You can buy that in Oregon right now. The Harmony Pearls are available in our 4 recreational states, Oklahoma, Oregon, Nevada, and Arizona. The chocolate bar will be available in Arizona and Oregon. The third product I would say probably has to be our Pips, which are the new product that we just have in Oregon, but you're going to see those in Arizona here very shortly too. And those are like M&Ms. So they're actually candy coated pieces, little tiny pieces that are microdosed at 2.5 milligrams. They're really amazing. And the feedback that we're seeing on those is really incredible. And there's nothing like that on the market in the cannabis space right now, anywhere.
Cool. Well, I think the problem with edibles is that they're so damn delicious.
Right?
I find that too. Like, you know, when I try a different edible product, I'm like, God, why do these have to be made so delicious? It's hard to eat, you know, just one. That's why I feel like the microdose thing is just so great, because you can have a few.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, really what we've seen too is it's being able to provide a product for everyone, for every consumer. So they're being able to have the microdose products for one consumer, but also being able to provide products for a medical customer, for someone that is a higher dose or more of a cost conscious consumer, which you see that's a big part of our consumer base in cannabis, particularly in the established markets. And, you know, the Mega Pearl, which we came out with in 2020, which is just one giant pearl. So it's almost like the size of a gumball. Mm-hmm. And I had zero idea that would take off the way it did. It just really, I had no idea. And we are seeing that is the biggest selling SKU that we're pushing in Arizona right now. It is off the charts. We just can't even keep it in stock. And really it comes down to putting a product on the market at a cost. It's a price that the consumer is really driving towards. And you just can't hit that with a 10-piece product offering.
Nice. Well, I'm sure, Christine, you've listened to the show, so you know how we always end it. But we do some quick fire questions.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. So I thought, you know, every show we do different questions, which is, you know, it's really hard to keep coming up with different questions after 100 episodes. But I figured with everything that was going on with COVID and people have been, you know, they're coming out more, but I feel like people have really dialed into watching television. And so I'm just curious from you, like, what are your top 2 shows that you would recommend?
The White Lotus.
You know,
television?
Well, yeah, no, that's good. I just started watching it. But unfortunately, I saw the last episode first.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what is this? So I've got to watch the whole series. But I mean, people are definitely talking about it.
You have to, yeah. White Lotus, it's unbelievable and so beautiful and so poignant to where the world is right now. Mm-hmm. And then I think probably the next show that I've become obsessed with lately is Queen of the South.
By the way, just out of curiosity, have you seen Ted Lasso?
Yes. Yes.
Do you like it?
Yes.
It's so good.
So good.
It's so good. Okay. Next question. Do you have any weird quirks?
Yes.
What are they?
I have to say, I'm obsessive. I'm obsessed with excellence to the point of driving myself crazy.
Okay, I think that's also a good thing. I'm
obsessed with horses. How's that?
What was the other one?
Horses.
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 Okay, I like that. All right, so last question. What do you hope never changes?
The culture. The culture of what I'd say here with my company, I'd say I hope I'm able to keep the culture of what we've created.
Amazing. Well, you guys are doing a great job, and congrats on the expansion. And
thank you.
Really congrats, not on just really amazing, beautiful products, but the way you really present them. And I think that's a true testament of how, you have really laid out the brand. So, congrats to you guys. And it's been great to have you on the show. And I'm a little hungry now, kind of talking about all these delicious treats.
Thank you so much.
Christine Smith, founder of Grün Chocolates. Thanks again.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.